Howdy, y'all. Good to have you here. As she said, my name is John. I have the pleasure of being at this campus and being a director for Blueprints. And I'm going to tell you all the ways that I have fumbled through that and got to have some wonderful things because of some fantastic people that I'm with in the grace of God. But first, I want to show you this picture and ask you, have you ever felt like this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, as you all know, when you are in class or when you're in church, or if any of you all have ever taught or been in front, there are two types of slants. There is this slant, and that's my William when he was two. He's four now, but that's my William. There's that slant, which says, I'm disengaged. I don't care. Why do I have to be here? And then there's the forward slant, and you all know what I'm talking about. Where someone is just a little bit leaned in, where they are listening so loudly with their expressions, with how they nod along with you, with the nonverbals that are so loud, with the questions that they ask, with the notes that they are writing down. There's two types of slants. And we've probably, each of us have been in different slants, and so have our life Bible studies. And I'm going to talk to you about that for ours. And the sad news is that is William, but I use that picture as a representation for myself. And I have to tell you that for a number of years, that was my approach in our life Bible study. I wasn't yet the director. It was probably about 4 years where I just had to say, like, I was coming, I was a faithful attender, but that was pretty much how it was. And y'all might have gone through seasons like that in your life, or you've seen people in your class that have kind of done that. And it doesn't mean that our class was completely like that, although I'm going to tell you a little bit that I do think that we had a stale period, and where, as a whole, we might have been a little lean back, a little bit of that back slant. But just because I say it doesn't mean that God wasn't working. It didn't mean that things weren't happening with individuals. And it doesn't actually mean that everybody in my class saw it the same way that I did. Even though sometimes that's about how our classroom looked for a couple of years, where there was nobody. So this, William, and actually, if y'all knew me when I was three, like, that's pretty much what I look like. He's pretty much just spitting image. So it's a good representation, but that was me from about 2019 to 2022. And sure, there were some other things that happened in there, but this was the posture that I had. In class, probably because some of the way that we designed the environment, but also just my own personal stuff. There were some other major things going on in there. And then there was this thing that happened in 2021, and y'all may have had something like this, but we had a director and we had two teachers, and they'd been there for a long time. Our class has been together for about 17 years. There's split off classes that have come, but there's that core group that's kind of always gone through, right? And so we get this director couple that apparently they felt called by God to go to Tupelo, Mississippi. And I think it's nonsense. I don't think you were at all. But apparently they did. And they're there and they've fostered kids and they have done wonderful there and they're engaged in their church. And it's a wonderful thing. And I'm still resentful that they left. No, I'm just kidding. I'm good. No, just kidding. So he tells us that we're leaving. We're going to Tupelo. We're taking this new job. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, we're going to lose a director. Somebody's going to have to do it. I still got my back slant going on. And then 2 weeks later, one of our two teachers, and y'all, we have some really good Bible teachers. We are a class that still does that, kind of goes through topical or by the book, like going through, and we have some gentlemen that do that very well and take that very seriously. And one of those guys leaves. So now we just have one teacher. And y'all know, in a life Bible study, if it comes down to one person, we all in trouble. Many hands make light work, right? So what happened? Well, I was out on a run with that said teacher, and he's like, you know, it's your time, right? Like, I think God's ready for you to lead and direct our Bible study. And I was like, it's nice he's telling you that. But all of these things, kind of praying, going along, doing all these things, I reluctantly say yes. And I wish that I could tell you I hit the ground and I came in, and in that first year, it was like, hey, life and growth and health and relationship and all of this gospel-centered Bible study with life at the beginning of it. It wasn't. I kind of came in and I went through of like the checklist that the previous director left me of like, what do I have to do to make sure that the church doesn't fire me from my volunteer job? Not saying I'm proud of it. I'm saying that's what I did. By the grace of God and Sarah Anthony, Scott's wife, people got prayer and announcements that year. So that's where it was. And then a couple of things happened. I was wrestling with not our Pastor Greg, but a different Pastor Greg, 1G, Greg Finke, talks about joining Jesus on his mission. And that's unique. And he calls you to be an everyday missionary. And that had been kind of working its hook in me for about 5 years. And then all of a sudden I come to this event in 2022, and I'm pretty sure I remember that it was Lyle Wells, Boto Joseph, in a breakout room that talked about gathering, growing, and giving, and how we might need to be doing some of these things as Life Bible Study, and something changed. Something sunk in, and I saw it differently. And it doesn't mean that that happened and then a week later we did all of these things. I'm going to talk to you about socializing some of this stuff and not just doing like, one Sunday we do this, next Sunday we do that, right? Usually doesn't play out super well, or at least it hasn't for me. Maybe I'll get that better. You should give me the recipe on how to do really quick, fast stroke of the pen changes. Because ours are slow and they are socialized and we talk about it, and I actually think that's part of the good recipe. But all of that to say, started to see that study, which our class, blueprint, like structure, study, Bible teaching. We got lots of engineers and a chemist. Like, we are very by the book, if y'all know what I'm saying. I just look for confirmation, right? We are very by the book. And you're telling us that Life Bible Study, two out of the three words, Bible study, majority wins. Like, we should be doing this. And you're saying we're going to do more of this life stuff? Like, you're crazy. But we said, maybe, perhaps, less study, more life. Because that might be the thing that we are uniquely able to do. And what would be possible? Or what would change? Or how would God work if we made that whole thing gospel-centered? And so that's kind of what we started doing. And so here's what I hope for our breakout time. I hope that we can talk about three things. Three things for how do we bring life to our Life Bible Study. And I'm hoping through the different activities, I'm going to give you kind of four ways that we go through this. What's your focus? Who are you? How do you connect? And what do you do? But I hope that I can thread, and that y'all can see and thread, a gospel-centered, relational, and authentic approach to Life Bible Study. Imperfectly practiced every single week, but continuing to progress and do that and do life together. So this came up about a year and a half ago at a luncheon for leaders in our church. And our church put this up there. And it really resonated with me. It said, Life Bible Study is the fellowship of believers who are known by name, ministered to by name, missed when absent, nurtured in love, serving in the church. And you want to know what? Five of those six have nothing to do with Bible study. That all has to do with people and with loving them and doing stuff together. And it really hit me, and it really hit our class. And so we started to look at what might we do. And I just want to anchor our entire time around this verse tonight. Acts 2:42. I'm going to read it for us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now, all the believers were held together and held all these things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. We'll come back to how much food was referenced in that passage. It's a very critical part. And I will tell you later that we would prefer food all the time in our Life Bible Study. But we started looking at this and we started thinking, what might we be able to do and how might this change? And we just started slowly socializing things. And I promise you it was not this structured, but this is the structure that we're going to work on and go through today, just to kind of help you all, to give all of us a frame of how we go through these things. So we're going to go through, what is your focus? Who are you? How do you connect? And what do you do? Those four things as we look at our life Bible study. And I want to give you the thing that really changed me and has really impacted our class. Because we've been on a 2-year focus where we look at everything through the lens of gospel application, going on mission. How do we read the book of Galatians with a gospel application? Because one of our teachers was teaching us something, and we were going through this thing called the gospel prayer. And in there, J.D. Greer says, the gospel is not just the springboard. And like, that's where I was. Like, the gospel is Jesus Christ saved me. Like, I'm in. I'm on the team. Springboard. And he says, it's not just the springboard. It is the entire pool. And every single day, we need to be washed with the gospel. Just like we need to brush our teeth every single day. But we need to be washed with the gospel. It is the entire pool. And so how can we look at and try to apply that to every single aspect of our life? We're going to go through these four things. First one up is, what is your focus? Right? And it's the top one, and you probably already have 2 out of the 3 answers. You probably know your class name, and maybe you have a verse, right? Ours, if you know Luke 6, 47, 49, it's that one about not building your house on the sand, but building it on the rock, because when the flood came and the rain, blah, 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 that's us.
Engineers.
I told you, like, you're following the ethos of our group, right? But don't worry, they are semi-emotionally aware engineers at this point in their life. So anyways, also in Matthew, we use the Luke one, but here's the thing. I would have told you in my reverse slant for so many years, and just for what my focus was and what it appeared the focus of our class was for 13 years we were focused on building the house, which is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Might not have been the most complete thing for us, but we were focused on building the house. What does that mean? It means that we focused on, how do we have better marriages? It means we focused on, how do we be better parents? It means we focused on edifying ourselves. And then Brad Talbert came and talked to us as we were going through this transition of directors and teachers. And he said, what's the point? If you 12 to 16 people are in here for the next 40 years, further edifying yourself, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brad. He was in the last one, so I actually got to poke at him a little bit. But here's what started to happen. And the theme wasn't me, John, kind of coming out and saying, y'all, this is our theme. Yeah, it ended up being that. Like, I got to be the one in front of the class guiding us into that. But here's how it happened. Praying. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to lead this class? What the heck am I supposed to do? What is it? Taking a shower and thinking of ideas. And as you can see, like, I like alliterations. I like build a house, share the blueprint. Like, come on, we're going to have fun with the name. We're going to do all this stuff. Roof Builders, that is such a cool name. I love it. So all of those things. And then I go to people like Scott and Steven and Gary and Faith and Megan and start to socialize this. Like, what do y'all think? What do y'all think about this? Where does it need to change? I have zero doubt that our theme was not actually those 6 words before I talked to those people. I don't remember what it was, but I know that it wasn't that. And we figured out the theme. And Patrick Lencioni, leadership development guy, says, we need thematic rallying cries. Things that point all of us in that same direction. As Brad said, what's the point? And we looked and said, perhaps the point is not just for me and mine. Yes, build the house, but maybe it's for the others. What are we supposed to do with that? And so what we do as a part of all of this, and I'm going to talk about these things, they're going to seem linear, but I promise you they were very circular, and not everything was like, we did this on a Sunday, and then the next Sunday we did everything different. Like, it wasn't happening. I'm talking about a 2-year journey for us, kind of layering in some of these things. But now every topic, transgender identity and sexuality, cultural apologetics, Galatians, Romans, everything that our class does and that our wonderful teachers, three gentlemen, that are diligent in their preparation. And that we share the lessons on Saturday and we give each other feedback and we pray over what these guys are talking about. They do wonderful, wonderful things. Every single one is through a gospel application perspective. How do we look at these things through the lens of the gospel and what we are called to do based on those? We've had a very gospel and go focused. Build the house, share the blueprint. And then our teachers went from, and they've always been really good, and we would always end with key points, because everybody that gives a sermon or a speech, you always end with the key point because you want them to have the key takeaway. Well, these wonderful guys, even though they're engineers and they don't like to be moved off course, changed the way that they started to teach, and they started to put things in there like, perhaps here's a life application, as well as I'll get to discussion questions. But then they even went as far as a call to action like, John, who are you going to talk to in your neighborhood this week? And then we have wonderful stories of like Gary, who said, I accidentally on purpose threw the baseball over the fence, so I got to go talk to my neighbor. And maybe one day I'll get to talk to him about Jesus. And they started to do stuff like that because we changed the theme and we've moved that way. So again, this probably isn't something that you're like, I know my theme. Writing it down, moving, launching it on Sunday. Likely not. But I would encourage you to pray about it, to socialize it, to start talking and saying, what is it? Even invite the class in and say, what do we want to focus on in the next 6, 12, 2 years, 5 years? Use Brad's question if you need to. What's the point? All right? Okay. So, getting that focus and kind of being able to move us all in a general direction. And then as Scott could probably attest to, for the first 6 months or so, like, I just would say that. I'd be like, all right, let's open up in prayer, and we pray, and I'd be like, and remember, like, build a house, share the blueprint. I don't do it every Sunday anymore. I remember once every 2 or 3 months now. I could slip it in there. I should probably do it more often. But we would say those things, and it kind of gets in there, and it sticks in a little bit. After we figure out our focus, let's call out who we are, because you all are uniquely you. Your Bible study is not like Jeremy's Bible study. It's not like David's Bible study. It's not like my Bible study, and that is a wonderful thing. And so, I'm going to talk about and make some jokes through some of our uniqueness, but I want you all to start thinking about some of your uniqueness. These things don't have to be yours. They might be. But how do you all describe your Bible study when somebody comes in? You probably do it kind of like I did it. And I was like, I don't like doing it like this. You'd come into our class, and I'd be like, hey, I'm John. Yep, we're Blueprints. We meet at 9:15. And as the website says, we've basically been married 3 to 7 years, but that's outdated. We've pretty much been married 7 or more years, and we got a whole bunch of kids. And that's that was it. And that is good. But it really wasn't us. So as people started coming in, I start saying things like, hey, I'm John, so glad you're here today. We start talking, and then I'm like, let me just tell you a little bit about our class. We tend to be a very spiritually mature class. We're just very immature about it. We're snarky. We make jokes. We poke at each other. We have weird theological debates that don't really matter. There's a lot of memes on any sort of text string. But we got a lot of really mature Christians that have been doing that and kind of working through that and walking through that for a really long time. We say things like, what does the Bible say? Because we had a fantastic mentor couple that every single time you go to them with a problem, they're like, well, I'd probably think about it like this, but let's look at what the Bible says. And it just kind of comes in and indoctrinates you. And so that's a theme in our class. And then we, not because I'm putting it up there, but because our class has said that and we tend to look that way, and we are a very diverse group of gospel-minded individuals. We got kids that some are in public education, some are in private education, some are in homeschool education, some need more education. Just kidding. I'm joking. Thank you. I'm making sure we're getting late. I got to make sure y'all stay with me. It's all different, right? We live in different parts of the city. If I put up a map, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you all live all over the place. It's like the state of Rhode Island up there. Like, you're freaking far apart. We are. However, we're a diverse group of people, but there's this gospel-mindedness likeness that is there. And that's really cool. So more than just going through, and y'all can see this on the back, like every word on there that is italicized on the back that's not blank, that's ours. It's an example. That's not the right way to do it. That's the way we do it. But I hope that as you think about your uniqueness, you can look through the lens of how is our group uniquely gospel-centered? Maybe it's in this season of life. What are some of the trials and testimonies? Because one of the most painful and one of the most beautiful things about our class is that I think I can only think of one couple that has not suffered with infertility, miscarriage, or the death of born children. That is a painful thing that bonds all of us together. And we have loved each other through it, and we have watched very, very, very godly women pray through some of these horrendous things, trusting God, and then using the death of a seven-day-old funeral as a way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that is something that is unique to our class, and other classes have different trials and testimonies. And that's what makes you you, and that's what bonds you together and brings in some of the life so that you can come alongside each other in there. So you can say things like, oh, me too, right? So, gospel-centered, trial and testimony, some of your personality, like being semi-emotionally aware engineers or chemists. Gotta have fun with Scott. And the experiences that y'all have and that you do, there are those pieces. We've got a lot of transplants in ours. Another thing that we have, which is fun, and I don't actually know how to say it, but like we have a lot of Protestant Christians who happen to be at a Baptist church. It's just how we are. I don't know. A bunch of Protestant Christians who happen to be at a Baptist church. That's some of the uniqueness of our class. And when people come in and they start to figure this out, you want to know what? They laugh, they smile, and if they know like this is where they belong, they stay. Those 12 people, we do about 26. And I'm not saying that because it's braggadocious. I'm just saying that healthy things grow and people have found a place where they can connect, and we have some of that going on. And if it's them, it's great. And if it's not them, we still connect with them and we tell them the same thing that somebody told me that probably told you. Welcome to This Life Bible Study. If it's not you, keep going and keep checking out different Life Bible Studies. Find the place where you belong. That's what we tell these folks. And by golly, I hope they stay. That'd be great. But some of them, as soon as we start talking, they're like, you crazy. Not my cup of crazy. That's cool. Like, I'll be fine with that. We'll move on. So it's a little bit of the who are you? And again, as I said before, if there is any part of this where you're feeling like, oh, this is very dictatorial, I'm going to go and say, class, this is who we are and this is how we do it, I would just advise you not to do that. If you have found that method to work, wonderful. I've not. Socializing it and slow rolling it and not going from fluid to, oh, we do all of these things has been very beneficial. It's a lot. Part of the who you are, as you can see, we have leaders. If you are doing this all by yourself, I would just encourage you, go find the others. Many hands make light work. And again, Sarah Anthony, godsend, because if she was not one of the assistant directors, do you know how many times we would have sent out prayer and announcements since 2021 when I started doing this? It's zero. That's the answer. I'm not even going to let you guess. It's just zero. Sarah takes care of that for us, and it is wonderful, right? And we have these other things, and I'm going to come back to this, but it's just something I want to highlight. Many hands make light work, and all of us. Thank you. This is Kelly. She's also in our Bible study. She's phenomenal. I don't make fun of her because she's not an engineer. I'm kidding. For any of all the engineers. I'm totally joking. All right. What I was going to say was that individual activities are led by class members. So what I'm saying is I don't have to lead everything. As a class, we don't necessarily have to say, this has been authorized by the class. This is an activity of blueprint. Like, if you want something done, like international dinners or organizing a camp out or do something, like, do it and tell us you're doing this thing because we're coming. We want Mo parties, right? It's on there. I don't know. The lady in the first class, she's like, what's Mo party? And I was like, more parties. Like, we want Mo parties. We want to get together and have some fun, right? There you go. A little bit of us. Next one on our list. How do you connect? And it's not just the like communications. We do that. We do MailChimp. We run that. Sorry, church, for not using Rock. But we run MailChimp. And then we also have GroupMe. We do prayer. The girls do real conversation and prayer. And the guys, it's usually like weird Homer Simpson meme. And then a prayer request because I'm going in for gamma knife surgery for the cancer that is on my brain. And then a bunch of dudes saying, praying right now. And then another meme that says, does this mean you're going to be the Hulk? Like, that's just kind of how we roll. I told you, we're very spiritually mature, and we're pretty immature about it. Like, gamma, Hulk, all right. For those of you that got it, thank you for getting it. I'm glad you're with me. All right. But you get a little bit of us. But here's the, yes, sir. Yeah.
It needs to be done.
Yeah. Thanks, Dean. We do laying on hands too. And I'll tell you about our small group prayer in just a second. And something like we did not do that. We do that now. And everybody tells us it's the everything. Like that is one of the things. And I'll tell you at the end, but I'll tell you now, if you don't do anything, add more prayer time. Just add more prayer time. But yeah, life events, sending people on mission, circumstances, cancer, we lay hands on and we pray. All right.
What is GroupMe?
GroupMe is like a text thing, like a WhatsApp or text messaging, that type of thing. So, but what I really want to talk about is this class structure. How do you connect? Because here's what we had for 13 years. We had a designed environment that looked a lot like this room. Everybody was looking this way. And then we actually have this exact setup on the fifth floor in 508, which they tell us is a classroom, but I'm pretty sure it's a storage closet. The number of chairs that are in that room, it's a storage closet. But it is our classroom, and this is where they put the blueprints group because they're the weird ones. So anyways, so this is what we would have for 13 years, right? I was trying to think when we launched. It was like 2007, I don't know. But very good Bible teachers would come up, and David Kent, remember David? Were you there when David was there? This is how David would sit when he would teach. He'd teach like this and for 40, 45 minutes. And then at the end, we'd have one or two discussion questions. And we always ran out of time because we always run out of time. And so it'd be one discussion question. And y'all kind of get how that might be when somebody just teaches like that for 40, 45 minutes. So David's great. A lot of backslant, but every now and then you get involved, right? And it's there. And so what we did was we actually changed the environment. And it was partially because of COVID and partially because we started talking about it and saying, well, there's something going on here. And we turned our chairs into a circle. And we stopped looking at one person and we started looking at each other. And we went from a 45-minute lesson, which really good teachers and engineers, and you tell them, hey, we're going to switch this up and you got to ask more questions. And so you teach for like 7 minutes and then ask two discussion questions. And then you teach for like 7 minutes and ask two discussion questions. It really started to change our group. Because you all have a core, just like we have a core, right? The core, you know the core in your Bible study. You know who I'm talking about. Scott, who's a wonderful Bible teacher, would start asking a question. And Scott's are always very probing. Every single time. They're great questions. And they're always very, very probing. And someone from the core is going to answer, here's my struggle. Here's my authentic response. Here's how I break the ice of the tension, of the uncomfortableness, of like, can we have real talk? They do that. And then the rest of the class does it. And then everybody else starts jumping in. And all of a sudden, your like 5 minute window for discussion questions is 15 minutes and you're still talking. And then our teachers are like, okay, I'm gonna get back to the lesson now, right? But everything started to change. It became more communal, it became more informal. We were seeing each other. And I don't just mean seeing, I mean, we were hearing each other. And we were hearing about what is happening that week in life. And we're hearing about how people are applying or struggling with the gospel or relationship or work just through discussion questions on things like how might the Judaizers apply to things today? And people are talking about how they do that with their kids or how they see it play out. And we're starting to talk through some of these things and metabolize what we're doing. That changed for us. Another thing was a good friend of mine who also happens to be an engineer gave me this McKinsey report. And inside of this McKinsey report, they went to Willow Church and they worked with Willow Church to say, what type of church program helps produce growing, thriving Christians? And they didn't find a program, they found a question. Because they found that growing, thriving Christians have a relationship with God that they are walking out in real life. And they said, basically, churches need to ask these two questions. And I'm not smart enough to come up with different ones. So I just started asking those questions at the beginning of our Bible study. We would be there, we'd talk, and then we'd pray, and we'd open it up. And then I would do this very, very weird thing and say, all right, y'all, I'm going to ask you questions about kind of gospel application. So how have you applied what you're learning from Bible study, Pastor Greg's sermon, or what you're reading every single day in life? And then I sit there awkwardly for about 3 minutes while everybody just stares at me. And then somebody says something. And then somebody says something. And then somebody says something. And I ask different versions, right? Some weeks it's, who have you talked to about Jesus this week? But essentially we're talking about how are you growing in relationship with God and walking it out in your life. And we open up our Bible study with that. And I think it's weird, and I'm pretty sure people are uncomfortable with it. And so I was doing it. And like y'all know, when you do something and nobody responds, that apathy, like you keep doing it. Like, so I was kind of withering and not wanting to do it. And then finally one week I didn't ask. And then the next week I didn't ask. And then the third week I pray and I'm getting ready to turn it over to one of our teachers. And then somebody goes, wait, you didn't ask your question. And I've been waiting all week to tell you my answer. You want to know what I realized? People really want to talk about what they're doing. And that it really was working and it really was adding life to our class. And so now, because your wonderful wife did that, I make sure that I ask it every single week, right? I make sure that we give that opportunity. And we've heard things like people going in Ubers and being an evangelist with Uber drivers who are Muslim. And we've heard things about people taking their kids and packing stuff up and going to the homeless person that they drive by every single day that they go to school and actually having conversation and giving food to those people and then talking to their kids about why they do that. And we've heard people talk about the struggles and how they're using what they read in the Bible and what we've done through church to apply it to their life. And we've heard about people that have engaged in conversations about Jesus at work, and people are talking about those things because we ask the question. So that's one of the things we do. And then another thing that we do to focus on how do we connect is we start doing small group prayer. Again, kind of admonished, encouraged, chastised, whatever it was. But basically said, you are the avenue to connect individually with folks. And you get the opportunity to pray with them. And so we just started doing that. So I went to a bunch of people who are really good Bible teachers that are used to doing it for 45 minutes. But in Blueprints, we always run long. Like, let's just be real. We start at 9:15, which means we start at 9:35. And then church is at 11, which means we roll in about 11:07. That's just how it is. If you ever come to our class, just show up at 9:35 or you are going to be lonely. Just letting y'all know, like, this is how we roll. If you're a wee, come on, just kidding. Y'all got your own classes to lead. And we're running out of chairs in our little broom closet. So anywho, let me get back on. We started adding prayer and I told these teachers, we got to bring it down even more. 35 minutes of Bible study inside a Bible study. Sacrilege. We started doing prayer. So we get in small groups of 6 to 8. And we said, what can we pray for? What can we pray for? What can we pray for? What's going on? And we write it down and then we pray right then. We do the prayer and announcements and everything that goes around. And we have those prayer requests that also go out. But we just pray for 10 to 15 minutes. I have a question for y'all. When you look at those two pictures, how do you feel when you look at each of those pictures? How do you feel? You feel connected in the second one. Thanks. What else?
It's more homey on that side than this one. This one's like you're going to school.
So what somebody in the first group said, it's like school. I feel distant. I feel disconnected. Feel homey.
There's no barriers between you.
There's no barriers. No. You're just there. And this is essentially what we did over, again, not Sunday to Sunday, but over the course of a couple of years. We went from, we come in, we do a little bit of talk, but basically we sit like this, and then I'm like, Right? And then we'd do a 45-minute lesson, and we'd have one discussion question because we always ran long. We did announcements, and then we'd talk, and we'd still be late to church. That's just how we roll. And all of a sudden, we turned our chairs in, and we looked at each other. And we started to socialize in doing that. Sometimes we stand. Sometimes we're all in a big circle, and we're having one big conversation with the folks that are there a little bit early. And by early, I mean actually still late, but kind of on time. But we start to have those things, and then we ask the gospel question. And then we do an interactive lesson. And then, yes, I do announcements, but they're very small and very fluid, and I pick and choose which ones I want to talk about. Like camp out. Everybody should register for camp out. Small group prayer time comes next, where we break up our groups and we pray, and then we still finish with socialize. And if we can actually get ourselves to bring food, we prefer food. Remember in Acts. They weren't talking about studying, they were talking about eating. That's basically how that was playing out. It's biblical. We need food. This is what we did. And I'm not saying, like, some of y'all are sitting there and you're like, dude, I got 100 people in my class. I ain't doing a freaking circle. You shouldn't do a circle. But it doesn't mean that you can't design your class for connection. Where can you look for how can I design this for connection? What opportunities do we have to be able to do that? And then the last one. What do you do? We're prioritizing relationship, gospel, authenticity. But we hadn't really gone through and been like, what do we do? Like, how do we get together? What do we want to study? What are the things that we really care about? The missions, the service. So we wanted to align our practices to our priorities because our practices actually show what our priorities are. And so I actually took over from the teachers 1 week. Thank you for letting me do it. It's always a flip of the coin. How good is it going to be? No, I'm just kidding. But I took over and we went through that activity at the bottom, the gather, grow, give, go. And we got everybody ready and said, hey, you all better show up. And we got lots of food for you this week, but we're going to talk about what do we want to do in our class. And I took them through a Bible study. And here's what y'all can do. That is a QR code. If you go there, it's a Google Drive. There is this PowerPoint. There's a PowerPoint from that lesson that I did to kind of go through this activity. There's that handout that also is PDF fillable or just regular printable. And then there's my lesson notes from that lesson. They're not perfect. They're imperfect, but they're my lesson notes. And then there's a handout you can print if you choose to do that lesson to guide your group through the gather, grow, give, go. So if you QR code it, it's just a Google Drive link. There's like 7 things in there that you all can download and you can have it, right? Okay, so what did we do? So we went and we did this exact Bible verse. And I told y'all we run long, so just get ready. We did this exact Bible verse, and then we went through and talked about, well, for us, there's 4 things for life Bible study. And it's prayer, and it's fellowship, and it's study, and it's service. That's just kind of what we talked about. And that was the same time that I was starting to share some of this theme stuff. Right? And then we said, what does our class do? Church says that we gather, we grow, and we give, go. Right? We give, go, pray, or disobey. Right? You probably heard Pastor Greg say that. You're either praying, giving, going, or disobeying. So we said, what do we give, go? What's the service, the mission, the thing that we care about? And we just went through and we did all these things with post-its and that and voting, and we just made a big old list. What do we want to do for social things and for fun? And we still do them, and as Scott would tell you and I would tell you, and probably Kelly would tell you, we're not so good at a lot of the getting together outside of Sunday. It can be geographic distance, it can be season of life, it can be whatever excuse we personally want to give ourselves, but we're just not good at that. We're good at some of the other stuff. So we got a growth area that we can lean into. And we came up here, and I'm just going to give you some of them, like pool party. And our class does that. We have a pool party in June every single year at one of the folks' houses, and we get lifeguards, and there's like 85 people in this house, and 70 of them are children in that pool. It is awesome. It's a pool party, right? But we do other gather things, like we do family dinners, and somebody wants to do that, so they organized it, and families get together and rotate through dinners at each other's houses, the international dinner, the camping, which we basically took over the camping thing last year, so we're going to try to do that again this year. You should try to get your class to register, see if you can overtake us. That's fine. Bros lunch dates, like all the guys said, we want to get together for more lunches. Sometimes that happens, but we just said, well, how do we want to socialize? How do we want to have fun? What do we want to do? Right? And then we talked about where do we want to grow. Let's give our wonderful teachers a direction. We've already said we're going to look through everything through the lens for our class in this season, gospel application, and how do we go based on that. That's what we chose to do. Now, how do we want to grow in those? More testimonies, more topical and cultural apologetics. We got a bunch of kids, 13, all the way down to, I think we got two buns in the oven in our class still. They're coming soon, right? But they want to talk about transgender sexuality, and our teachers went and worked at it and studied at it and started bringing it and started bringing all of those topics, all of those books of the Bible. What's the gospel in there, in every single line of the Bible, in every single story, and how does it apply, and what do we do based on that? Where do we go, right? And so we started doing those things. And then the give go, and we decided that we should pair some of these things together. So when we gather, we also focus on that. So when the women would get together quarterly, they would focus on doing something for Legacy 68.5 or for pregnancy centers. And they just said, hey, and the ladies said, hey, let's bring this together. And so I just encourage you to give some of those outlets for the class of what are some of the things that we want to do, right? And that's our list. That's not your list. That's not the right list. That was the list that we made. And then, as I said before, individual activities encourage people to lead. We finished that lesson. We got that all up there. I turned to everybody and said, we can't do all of that. If something's really important to you, lead it and invite us along. And some people have. That's really how we went camping. Was we just had somebody that was like, we're doing it, we're doing it. And then the church finally said, we're doing it. And then a whole bunch of people got to come. So aligning our practices to our priorities, and we use the gather, grow, give, go model. So as we wrap up, I hope kind of through every little piece of what is your focus, who are you, how do you connect, what do? You see an opportunity or a way to be gospel-centered, relational, and authentic. And I said earlier that every single box was an opportunity. And I just want to encourage all of us that every single interaction in our life is an opportunity for an authentic, relational, gospel-centered conversation inside of church or outside of church. Whether it's someone that's never heard it and it's a springboard moment, or it's someone that's been here their whole time. It's not just a springboard. It is, in fact, the pool. And if I have not moved you from the back slant to a little bit of a front slant on doing some of these things in your life Bible study, I just ask that if you do nothing else, add more prayer time for your life Bible study. And it'll be amazing what God will do. Thank you all for being here. I really enjoyed getting to hear some of y'all's stories and you being here. Remember to do the survey for Madeline. Yes. I got a boss, don't worry. And love y'all, God bless, thanks.